rejoicing there will be when the saints arise. Headed for that jubilee under in the sky.
Hello everyone, I'm Chaplain John McTernan, and this is our Saturday evening show, The Outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I had a very, very nice kind of late afternoon over at my son's house with my oldest granddaughter. She graduated high school, and they had a party for her. And
That's awesome.
Yeah, so it was very, very nice, and as usual, time got away from me. And I looked at the time, and I told everybody, gotta go, and here I am. So late, but we're running. And oh, Danny Boy's right here. What's going on, Danny?
There you go.
My dog, he's right here next to me. And so what I want to do is the first hour is have something about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And in the second hour, just some good, there's such good video teaching out there. And I have to filter to find, you know, make sure it's good. The second one I'd like to place, the second hour, something just good about Bible teaching, you know, scripture, maybe history about, Israel, the Middle East, things like that. And, so we have like two separate hours, but that's fluid. And let's see who I have with me now. We have Sister Sharon. Hello, Sister Sharon.
Good evening, Chaplain John and everybody. And it's a joy to be here. And I'm looking forward to tonight and the teachings and the videos and prayer and whatever we have going on.
Okay. And then we have Paula Jean here. Hello, Paula Jean.
Good evening. I'm so glad we're all together.
Yeah, yeah. And we are all together here. And then we have Sister Kathy.
Yes, greetings one and all. Thank God for Saturday.
Then an unknown caller here, which usually indicates Gigi and Randy.
Yes, we are here, and we're looking forward to tonight and what you're going to show us, and bless you and everybody.
Okay, and then we have Sister Rita.
Good evening, Chaplain John, and hello to everyone out there.
Good evening, Rita.
Okay, and can you give a... Sister Sharon or Kathy, an update about last night?
It was good. It was good. We had quite a few people showed up. Everybody was enjoyed praying and listening to each other's needs. And I know we were praying again for Susie's feet and just all sorts of different things like that. It was a good night.
All right. What time did you get finished at?
Oh, gosh, I don't remember.
11 o'clock.
Oh, that's right. Okay, yeah. Because what I do now is I read the composite, and then we have Desmond close us out. So it's just a few minutes after 11.
Okay. Well.
Thank you, Kathy.
This is interesting. I'm trying to, Sister Kathy, I think it's some of the videos that you sent me. Let me see what happens here. Yeah, I'm getting, it says I have to sign in. So I don't know what that's all about here.
I don't either.
Okay, I want to give you a testimony. I'm doing two things here now. It's coming in through Vimeo. No, it's not you. I brought them across, but they're coming in through Vimeo. So let me see what you sent me. Okay. Well, I'm doing two things at once. But here's what happened on Friday. This is astonishing, what I'm about to tell you. On Friday, I take Nancy to Cracker Barrel. So there was a waitress there that we'd become friendly with. And I asked for her, and she was in. So she's taking the order, and it's a little hard for me to explain to you, but it's like a big notepad that she has. It's electronic now. She punches it in and sends it, and it goes right into the where they cook it. But anyways, when she opened it, I looked. I could see in it, and I said, "Is that a brochure?" And she said, "Yes, yes. Is that the one I gave you?" And she said, "Yes." She took it out, and here she had the Brokenhearted brochure in her where she would take the orders. And
wow.
I said, "Wow!" And then she goes, "Oh. This has meant so much to me about Jesus healing the broken heart. And God knows I have a broken heart, and I love to read it." She said, mm-hmm. "I get such a good feeling when I read it. It does something to me on the inside." Isn't that amazing?
It is.
Yeah. She takes it with her all the time.
Wow.
That's priceless.
So then it was slow Friday night, and she spent a lot of time talking to us, and she was basically telling us about her broken heart. Now, she didn't talk about her husband, but she talked about her mother passing, her uncle who she took care of passing, her two children, looks like they're deep in the world, and one of them will let her see the grandchild. The other one, I've never seen my grandchild. So she had quite a hard life. And you could see how perfect that brochure was for her. It was tailor-made for her. So I said, I didn't have any other brochures with me because we took Nancy's vehicle. I keep them in mine. And I said to her, "Oh, I have some other brochures. Would you be interested in reading them?" She said, "Oh, yes." I said, "One is about how much God loves you." I said, it's from the Bible verse, John 3:16. "Oh, yeah, that sounds really good." And I said, "Well, next Friday when I come in, I'll bring them with me." And I said, "I have another one about looking for Jesus coming for us and taking us to heaven." Wow, that sounds really good. So I'm going next Friday when we go back there, I'll bring the brochures with me. Normally I keep them in my shirt pocket, but I didn't this time. So I was so excited to see how that brochure ministered to this woman.
Yeah, that is just amazing.
So
it makes it all worthwhile.
Yeah, we never know. You know, I happened to see the brochure in her pad, I guess you would call it. But other than that, I wouldn't have known. And so I'm absolutely delighted about how the Lord is, just that alone is so tremendous. Okay, anybody have a word of testimony they'd like to share?
Yesterday we had some visitors come by the house, unbeknownst to me, and my son is handing me a not real thick, but it's real thin paper, like a lot of pages, a little pamphlet type thing. I go, "Well, where's this from?" He goes, "Well, just look at it, and you'll know who it's from." And it is some Jehovah Witnesses came by the house, and they no longer are handing out two-sided things to people. These are like little story books, you know, like a 10, 12 pages and stuff. And I haven't really looked at it. I don't care to. But it's just kind of interesting if I haven't noticed any of them being out and about in years. So that's what I got.
All right. So the Jehovah Witnesses.
You want me to send it to you?
The Jehovah Witnesses were with you.
Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting setup. So, and if you want, I can send it to you.
No. No. Their Bible, we used to call the Green Dragon.
Yeah.
All right. Anybody, Sister Rita, any testimony you want to share with us?
Well, I had, I think I did share it, but I'm going to, I don't know when I, anyway, yes, I do. This last week I had to go to town and do some shopping and banking and stuff, and I had no choice. I have to go because I pay my bills and all that stuff, so I couldn't get out of it. And my knee had been working up on me. And so I was really kind of worried about going to town and especially going shopping. And I would go to Walmart in Greenwood, and they don't have that many electrical carts. They could get more, but they don't have that many. And I was really kind of concerned and worried about it. And so I asked the Lord. I said, "Lord, you take care of that for me. Take care of me on Friday, because I don't know about my knee." And I prayed to him and asked him to help me. And my main concern was actually getting an electric car to do my shopping in Greenwood. So I pull up to Walmart. And I park at a good parking place. I had a good parking place, too. And I got out of the car, and right in front of my car was an electric cart.
Oh.
And well, the Lord answered my prayer, and it was so, I mean, it was right there, right in front of my car. And I didn't even have to go into the store for it. And it was like, I felt like the Lord was telling me, "Here, Rita, here's your electric car, and I got one for you." So I was really blessed by that. So I thank the Lord God about that very much. Not until I actually joined your group do I pray for everything now. Everything. I pray for everything. So I haven't done that, and I've been saved throughout. Since 72, about 50 years I've been saved. So just now am I learning how to pray.
Oh, that's nice.
So I'm grateful that I found you guys.
That's a major celebration.
Yeah.
And, we have got to be saved, Lord.
Yeah.
And thank you for applying what you're learning and gaining so much from spending that time with the Lord, you know, because you have to be spending it with him to pray to him. And it's awesome. You're teaching us with your testimony.
Well, you have taught me too. You taught me how to pray. No, I mean, not that I did not pray throughout the years, but I didn't pray about everything. And so I'm just really grateful that I'm with you guys on this line, and I'm praying more than well, I'm praying about everything.
We're glad that you're here.
All right.
Absolutely. We're going to hear Oral Roberts in South Carolina. This is the – now, how do I look at this? This will be the young Oral Roberts. This is an old, old video, but it's the young Oral Roberts.
John?
Yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but we do have a really good testimony.
Oh, please. I'm sorry to overlook you. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. It's okay. And it was wonderful, Rita, that God provided it right where you needed it and when you needed it. Wow. Praise Him. Yeah. So on Thursday, Randy was supposed to take one of the cars in because we're having some issues. So the particular place that we go, they even give him a loaner car. So he was going to switch the cars in order to go across town. Well, we woke up super early, and he went outside and the car wouldn't start. So it was blocking the car he's supposed to be leaving with. And it's not something where, you can put it in neutral and do something about it because our driveway is on an angle. So we were praying about that. And I tried to start the car. So we have AAA. So I called them. It was very early, like maybe 6:30 in the morning. Randy had a 7:30 appointment. So 15 minutes later, the guy is there. And he puts a charge. We told him what was going on. He puts a charge on that car. I moved the car over, and Randy took off. And then I did need a new battery, but we've never been forever. I think we had the original battery. So it was so quick, and got a discount because he's AAA. We were AAA, and he said, "I'm the only person on call. And you called just at the right moment," and he was there 15 minutes. And then he fixed the vehicle, went over everything with me. And so Randy made his appointment, and we got this car fixed. And I just thank God, because we could have been out someplace far away from home, but we weren't. And we pray about our vehicle.
The battery, yeah. The battery died in your driveway.
Yes, and we didn't have any sign of it dying.
No, that's...
So there wasn't any sign of it dying.
Most of the time. And we call that giving up the ghost. It gave up the ghost.
Well, it was fantastic
a lot of times,
because...
No sign. No sign.
Right.
So sometimes you get and it'll start. And if it starts, you don't turn it off till you know where you are, or maybe you're at the place where you can get a battery.
Right.
But God blessed you.
But it's good because we have our car insurance is AAA.
Yeah.
And so they provide that where they will come out, I think eight times. It's roadside assistance. You know,
through the
free
years.
For,
Through the years, I've gotten my money's worth out of AAA.
Yes. Okay, but anyway, that was just so fantastic. So we praise God for that. Everything worked out.
Oh, nice testimonies. Father, I thank you for tonight. I ask a blessing now as we're going to hear Brother Oral Roberts, Lord. Such a real powerful anointing on him. And so I pray that this would be a blessed, we'd all be blessed by this video we're going to watch now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, here we go.
Of all faiths, come to this great tent
to be saved, healed, and witness to what faith in God can do. Some of the things you're about to see, some of the healings, may seem strange if you've not been reading your Bible. For Christ has commanded us to preach and to heal. So to assure you that you're seeing these things as they actually happened, I have put this assurance in the form of a legal affidavit. A copy of this affidavit, duly signed, notarized, and certified, has been placed on file in the Florence County Courthouse, Florence, South Carolina. And now, I invite you into the great tent cathedral for one of the four services filmed in Florence.
Well, now, ladies and gentlemen, it's my happy privilege and pleasure to present the man that God has raised up with a message for your deliverance. God's man for this hour, the Reverend Oral Roberts.
Now then, tonight, I invite your attention to the Word of God for the sermon. This is perhaps the most unusual and important sermon I've ever given in my ministry, titled The Conflict of Demons in the Human Mind and Spirit. I wish to read the words of Christ in Matthew 10, 1 and 7. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. As you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Also in the book of Matthew chapter 12, beginning at verse 43, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. And Christ added these significant words, even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. And now, I want to speak to you on the conflict of demons in the human mind and spirit. In a strange, mysterious way, the human mind and spirit are breaking down, becoming abnormal and unbalanced, filled with unresolved frustrations, festering fears, and unresolved conflicts. The tormented mind of man is hanging in the balance. All over the world, a strange thing is taking place. The mind of man somehow is not coping with that tremendous word called conflict. The psychologists have two names for this condition in the mind and spirit of man: neurosis and psychosis. In neurosis, the person is filled with conflict, but he does not lose contact with reality. In psychosis, he is filled with conflict, but he does lose contact with reality. And always the key word is conflict. Now, there is really no conflict between medical science and the Word of God. There is a different interpretation along some lines. They have different names for different things. And I come to you tonight saluting the world of psychology for the great strides they are making in treating mental illness. And I leave that treatment to them and wish them well. I am going into the Word of God to tell you what the Bible has to say about the torment of the human mind and spirit. When Christ was upon this earth, he came against the divided nature of man, against the evil spirit that pursued his steps, against the festering fear that tormented his life. Christ came in his own undivided, healthy personality with the anointing of God upon his mind, spirit, and flesh. He came in the fullness of the Godhead bodily to set the human mind, spirit, and body free. He came to heal all manner of sickness and disease. And incidentally, he gave power to his disciples to heal. And he used this description to heal all manner of sickness all manner of disease, and over against all unclean spirits. These disciples went out and returned with great joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Now the Bible gives us fourfold power over demons. Christ said, I give unto you power over against all unclean spirits. What kind of power? First, the power of discerning. And we must be able to discern the existence and the presence of demons in order to know what causes this particular abnormality or the conflict of spirit. I said a while ago that the key word is conflict. It is this nature that's warring against itself, warring against God. And don't you forget this tonight. The battle over the human race is not between the United States and Russia. It is not between two men, the ruler of Russia and the ruler of America. It is not between nations. The battle is between Jesus Christ of Nazareth and the devil. And neighbor, Jesus Christ is going to win. He's winning now. He'll be winning tomorrow. And we're on the winning side tonight.
Amen.
We are given the power of discernment. One must have this power to discern. I discern the presence of demons by the Spirit of God in my life. The Lord said to me, from this hour you'll cast out demons and heal the sick by my power. He gave me this discerning power. I discern them by the Spirit of God that comes in my hand. When I put my hand upon a person, and if I'm anointed, I can discern whether that person has a demon or not. Usually I know how many demons, the kind of demons, the name of the demons, and how long the person has been demon-possessed. This is something I cannot explain. It came to me by the power of God, and I have prayed for thousands upon thousands of these cases. And in many instances, the Lord has set them free and made them whole. Oh, people, when the power of God comes into a human being, it changes things. It takes away that neurosis, that psychosis, that divided nature, that abnormality, that breakdown. The power of God solidifies and unifies and sets free both in mind, spirit, and flesh. If you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
Where does that bring us tonight? First, they must be discerned, and second, Christ gives us power to cast them out. He said, I give unto you power. I give you power over against all unclean spirits to cast them out. To whom does he give this power? To the followers of Jesus Christ who believe in his name. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Shall they cast out devils? That is the word of God. When a demon is cast out, he is gone, and the power of Christ takes his place.
Amen.
Third, we are given power to forbid the demon to return. When Christ prayed for these people and cast out the demon, he forbade the demon to come back, which meant it could not come back. Now, we always do that. We urge the person who is delivered to go to church to read his Bible or her Bible to serve God, lest the worst thing come. Now, the demon always tries to come back, and he always seeks reinforcement. He goes out and gets other spirits more wicked than he is and comes back to re-enter that individual. And that's why that a person should put on the whole armor of God. He should be fortified by God's power. He should not trust to himself. He should seek God and quit the old ways and go and sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon him. Then I come to the fourth form of power that God or Christ gives us against unclean spirits, and that is the shed blood of Christ. First, we have power to discern. Second, power to cast out. Third, power to forbid their return. And fourth, we have the shed blood of Christ to cover our souls, minds, and bodies. But my friend, listen carefully to me tonight. No demon can cross the bloodline. If the blood of Christ is on your soul, you're as safe as God is safe. For no demon can cross the bloodline. If the blood of Christ is on your soul, you are safe from demon power. And no neurosis, no psychosis can hold you, for the blood of Christ is efficacious against the power of evil. If you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
Every head bowed, please. Now, friends, while your heads are bowed, listen to me. I want every man and every woman to listen to me tonight and do as I tell you. If you will, the Lord will save you tonight. If you don't, there's nothing I can do to help you. And now I want every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl who believes in my prayers tonight, and you want my prayers for your soul to be saved, that you may know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you are saved, and you want me to pray for you tonight, take the first step, please, in his name right now, and raise up your right hand quickly. Raise up your right hand quickly. Hundreds and hundreds of hands tonight. Please take them down. Now, will you take the second step so I can help you? I want every man and woman, every boy, and second step in his name, please, right now. And stand on your feet for my prayer. Please stand right now. And they're getting up all over this tent. That's wonderful. Keep getting up. Keep getting up, please. We have a place in front of me here at the platform where you may come up and stand, and I'm going to pray for you. Don't sit back down. Come down the aisle right now so I can pray for you. Come on. Now, I want you there in your home to join me as I pray for these many hundreds of people who wish to be saved. They're going to repeat with me the sinner's prayer, or the prayer of a person who wants to change his life and live for Christ. I want you, friends, standing here, raise your right hand, please. And you there in your room, put up your right hand. Don't be ashamed. Cooperate with me now. The Lord will reach out his hand and save you. Put up your hand. All together now, repeat this prayer. Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
Be merciful,
be merciful
to me, a sinner. Save my soul, from all sin.
Come into my heart
and make me thy child. Forgive my sins and save me right now. I receive Jesus Christ
as my personal Savior.
Live for him
forever.
In his name,
amen.
If you meant it, say amen. Say praise God. Live for him the rest of your life. Listen to me. If you feel the Lord has saved you, I want you to write me a letter. Say, Brother Roberts, the Lord saved me during your prayer. I want to know about it. And if you did not feel better, if you don't feel that God has saved you, write me so I can pray for you again. Write me. My address is Oral Roberts, Tulsa, Oklahoma. The saving of your soul is the greatest miracle in the whole world. Write me, Oral Roberts, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Now I'd like to invite you to join me tonight with your prayers and faith as I start offering prayer to God for the healing of the sick. People are here from all over America, from many states in this nation. Many of them have been given up to die. And this, in some instances, is their last resort. There is no conflict between medical science and healing by faith in God, because all are striving for the same end. And it is not I who heals, it's God. When someone in this line is healed, it's God's power that does it. And I want you to join me. Open your heart. Have faith in God. In a few minutes, I'm going to reach out my hand and pray for you right there. I know God's able to heal you. All you friends here in the audience, join me tonight. Open your hearts to God. He's able to reach out and heal you there in your chair. If you believe it, say amen. All right, Brother Deweese, I'm ready. Tell me your name, please. What?
Guy Griffith.
Guy Griffith?
Yes.
Where are you from, Guy?
Fairleigh, West Virginia.
Is this your first campaign to be in, Guy?
No, I was in household.
And you have come here that you might be fully and completely delivered from epilepsy.
Yes.
Have you faith in God, Guy?
Yes.
Are you living a life for God?
Yes.
You are definitely saved by His power.
I'm saved under your ministry.
Well, if you're saved under my ministry, I know you're saved.
Audience, bow your heads a moment. Thou tormentors that binding, I adjure you by Christ, come out to this boy, loose him, enter into him no more as long as he lives. Audience, raise your heads a minute. Guy, those things have really been powerful in you, haven't they?
Yes, I had one Sunday night.
Was it bad?
The Lord told me that I would be healed after it.
After this last convulsion which you had Sunday night, the Lord told you you would be healed after it. All right, audience, one more time. Oh, God, grant me this miracle according to thy will in heaven by the power of the name of Christ. Heal him! They're coming out. They're coming out now. Heal him! Oh, glory to God, they're out of there. Thank you, God. Forbid them ever to come back in the name of Christ.
God, how do you feel now?
I feel good.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Thank God.
You think you'll ever have another convulsion?
I'll never have another.
Why?
Oh, it's gone.
It's gone in Jesus' name. That's the power of God, Guy. God bless you and go with you now. Yes, we're so glad you're here tonight.
What did you say?
Pathologists all over the country to study my case. There are only 30-some-odd cases of this disease recorded.
Only 35 cases of this disease recorded in the nation?
In medicine.
In medicine. In the whole world.
It destroys the fatty tissue and leaves scars on the body.
Mrs. Turner, are you the wife of one of our pastors here on the platform?
Yes.
Brother Turner, is what your wife said true?
Very true.
Very true. Do you believe that the Lord will help her tonight?
I know the Lord can heal.
You know He can.
Yes, I do.
On what do you base that, Brother Turner?
Well, if God can save you, God can heal you. And I've seen too many evidences of His healing already here in this campaign.
Amen. I'm going to touch you as a point of contact. And when I touch you, I expect to turn my faith loose. And I want you to turn your faith loose. You will. Oh, God, I come to Thee for Mrs. Turner tonight, for the healing of this very rare disease. I ask for a healing miracle now, that she be healed from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet. Mrs. Turner, in the name of Christ, be healed, be made whole. People, raise your hand. The audience, get your healing right now. Be healed. People, hold on with me. Don't give up tonight. Do you know why I held on so long there?
No, I don't.
I wanted to feel contact with God. I wanted to have the feeling of assurance in my heart. And I know that I felt His power. Have you felt His anointing yet?
I certainly have.
You did when
yes,
I prayed. In what way?
A strange, glorious feeling came over my body.
People, you can get healed in this audience right now. There's a different atmosphere here now than there was a few minutes ago. Praise God. Master, may Mrs. Turner be fully recovered and miraculously healed, that it shall never return. In Christ's name, may I shake your hand and wish you Godspeed and new homes
wish you Godspeed tonight. You're so very welcome.
All right. Now you've got polio from your waist down, and the right side is affected the most. Are you the mother? Step over here a minute and talk to me. Tell me when this happened to Billy Ray.
Last July.
And where do you folks live?
Lake City, South Carolina.
And your name is what?
Omni Austin.
Well, tell me why you brought Billy Ray to our campaign.
Because he's
yours. Mrs. Poston?
Yes.
Do you sincerely believe that Christ can heal your child?
Yes, sir.
Why do you think that?
Well, I do, because he said that he would heal the afflicted.
Yes. Billy Ray, do you have faith in the Lord?
Yes, sir.
You think God can heal you?
Yes, sir.
Well, I believe he can. Will you join me now as I pray for this young man tonight? Oh, God, let thy healing go into his hip and limbs. Let the healing virtue of Christ heal him. Brother Deweese, I want him on my knee just 1 minute. Son, he's going to lift you up here. Brother Deweese, are you ready for this? Pastors, the sponsoring churches, are you praying with me tonight? Audience in the tent, you friends there? Now, Jesus, we ask that his little limbs be healed and that they shall be restored. Restore them tonight in the name of Christ the Lord. Oh, God, loosen that little foot up and take the stiffness. Oh, it's coming now, son. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, God. Now then, Billy Ray, I want you to raise that leg up like that. Oh, you can do it! Raise this one up, son. Now raise this little leg up, son. Oh, that's wonderful tonight. Jesus of Nazareth, let that virtue of healing go into this limb once more, into his little right foot particularly. Heal by thy power and make him whole!
What do you think?
This. What do you think, hon?
Because my leg is straight and I couldn't get it straight back.
You
said it like that.
It is straightening?
Hurt.
How can you tell it's straightening?
Because I couldn't lift my leg up like
you
that.
You couldn't lift it up. Oh. Oh, that's wonderful. Brother Deweese, we're going to put him down now. Honey. Oh, he wants down. Honey, walk on off, son. Walk on. Oh, glory to God!
You know, just edifying. Very, very edifying. In fact, I wish it was longer, to tell you the truth. But, all right, let's go over and see. Sister Kathy?
Yeah, that was awesome. Power. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Sister Rita?
I was blessed by the video. And it was a very good video. Like you said, it could have been longer.
Right. Right. Okay. And then Gigi and Randy?
Yes, that was really one of the things I think is amazing about what he was doing is he got everyone involved so that everyone. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. Yes.
Yeah, it was so interesting the way that he got the audience involved and so that they were they were part of what was happening. I thought that was quite amazing. And I thought that I liked his mannerisms. I've seen videos of other people and they weren't like this at all. He was very respectful. May I take your hand? And just very kind, very, very respectful. And I thought that was good. And he wasn't taking any credit at all. He was giving all the credit to the Lord. I just thought that was really, Amen. Good. I'm sorry, so short.
Well,
very good.
What was interesting in it was the woman, Turner, I think was her name, Mrs. Turner.
Yeah.
Some very, very rare disease that she had. I mean, very rare, like 35 cases, I think they said. Or he said, or someone said, her husband. And then when he started to pray, he said the whole atmosphere in here is changing.
Yeah.
And that's when I think people were getting healed in there, even if they weren't directly up on the stage with him.
Yes. Yes.
So, yeah. And then I don't know what happened to her. I don't even know what was wrong with her. But anyways, she seemed to be responding extremely well to him praying for her. So that was very, very nice. But it changed the whole atmosphere with the people there when he was ministering to her. I was 7 years old. That was 1955. I was 7 years old. No one's impressed. That's all right. I just looked at them.
I'm just a little guy.
I'm relating to it. I'm relating. Yes, Sister Sharon.
Yes, yes. That was the year I was born in 55, and the Dead Man, too, in 55. And, it was a very, I enjoyed the video a lot. And, I just was really looking at him. And he reminded me of my grandfather that used to preach.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad you were blessed. And
yes, amen.
Then we have Sister Paula Jean here.
Yes, very powerful. And good. It's like the points that he was teaching on were all very important. And so it's like he warned people, you may be healed, but be ready for, rebuking and take up your full armor. Yeah. Because it's true. The enemy will come back and try to deceive you into thinking that it didn't happen. But it did happen, and it is permanent. And you just have to stand firm in the faith and rebuke and walk with the full armor. And I was so pleased with how he covered all the bases in such a quick time. I mean, it was like the most natural thing to do the way he did it. Just, take care of business here. God's coming. He's filled you and he's healed you, and don't lose it. And it's all so wonderful. There was the Holy Spirit speaking through him with the anointing. And I one time was with someone who was a local person who God used to heal. And I went my very first time to see her. She got taught classes locally on occasion. And so I went to see her, and I had been living pretty well so far as I was concerned, no big deals, but I'd gotten injured just that day. So I was able to go and see if he healed me or not, something to check against. And so they asked for a little, everybody to submit the healings that they wanted or what their purpose for coming was. And so I put down the injury that I had just sustained. And it was so interesting. It was through the evening, not necessarily her praying for specific people, but just teaching and experiencing the presence of the Lord when you walk in, actually, before the meeting even starts. And he healed me of something else that had been chronic that I hadn't even thought to request, you know. It didn't put it in my prayer request, didn't even think in my own mind to ask for it. And he healed me of that while I was sitting in the audience. And then when I'm driving home, the injury that I went there to request for him to be healed was gone. And so it was so, that was very special to me because he was showing me, I might think, you know, I need to be healed of this, but this is more important first, and then we'll take care of that, you know. And it gave me a smile and, of course, a gratitude, and for how he actually custom looks at what's going on in our lives when he's responding to our prayers and learning how to receive from him. So this here was just very confirming. It was all very parallel, but I think the more that we can see of these people who God is actively using, and even you, Chaplain John, there's very special things that we can learn as we listen to you and watch and see what God does. I just feel like it's a privilege being in this group.
Oh,
that's
wonderful. Yeah,
well, that's true.
That's wonderful.
I think so too.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And okay, let's have some prayer about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and then we'll get into the second hour. Well, we're in the second hour already, but let's get into the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So, Sister Kathy, would you lead us, please?
Yes, Father God, thank you so much. Thank you so much for
Genesis chapter 2.
These people that have come before us, Lord, that have lived and have grown and have left a legacy for us to see and to enjoy and to take advantage of. And so I thank you, God, that we are to out of history into now. That is what you said, and that's what's happening tonight. We came from 1955 to right now. And Lord, oh my goodness, thank you that that is still available today. We still have the benefit and the blessing of healing, deliverance, peace that passes all understanding and joy unspeakable. Thank you for the moving of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Thank you that the callings and election of you are without repentance. So anybody that was called to do anything ever still can. So thank you, God, for tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Just hold on here for a minute, please. My foot was bothering me, and I wanted to get my shoe off. So that's what I was struggling around here with. Okay, let's go with Sister Rita. For the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, please.
Okay, Chaplain John. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the day, Father. It was a nice day. And I thank you for the home you've given me, my food, my water.
Amen.
My clothing. There's something else. The house that I live in, Father. It's a beautiful home, and I give you thanks for this, Father. Father, you are my refuge, and you are my strength. And I give you thanks, Father, for dying for me on the cross and for your love. When you gave me your love, when I did not deserve it, Father. Thank you, Father. And I give you thanks, Father, that I live in America. Father, I pray that you would heal and forgive America, and that you would have mercy on America, Father. I pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in America, Father, from the north to the south, from the east to the west, Father. And Father, I pray that you would heal this disaccord that is between Elon Musk and President Trump. I pray that they would come together, have friends, and that they would not be against each other, but they would join hands again, Father. And I pray, Father, that you will put a hedge of protection around President Trump. And I pray that you will strengthen him, comfort him, and encourage him, Father. And I pray and ask for that Melania will come to the saving knowledge of your son. And also I pray this for J.D. Vance and his wife, that they would both come to know your son as their savior. And I pray that, Father, that you also will protect his three little children and just protect them, Father. And Father, I also pray for Israel. I pray, Father, that I pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Israel. And I pray that for the Jews that live in Israel, that they would turn from their secular ways and that they would come to your son and accept him as their savior, each and every Jew that it lives in Israel, Father. And I pray for the IDF that you will, that they will come to the saving knowledge of your son before it's too late, Father. And I pray for Netanyahu that he also will come and his wife to the saving knowledge of your son, and that you would guide and direct him in all that he in the way that you want him to lead Israel, Father. And I don't know, I don't remember if I prayed for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Israel, Father. And I also pray for the Abba Father Fellowship churches, that each and every church will come to have I pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit and each and every church in the Abba Father Fellowship. Guide and direct the pastors in these churches, and I pray for the members in these churches that they will love you, Father, love you and your son more with each passing day, and that they will, and that many hearts would be healed in these churches in the Abba Father Fellowship, Father. And I pray for Chaplain John that you will strengthen and encourage him and his family, Father, his children and grandchildren. And I pray, Father, that you'll also continue to heal Nancy and strengthen her also, Father, and encourage her, Father. And bless and anoint everything that Chaplain John says and what he writes. I pray all this, Father. I pray, Father, that you would bless everyone that is online on X and Rumble and Uber, and that you would bless each and every one of us, Father, and also strengthen and encourage each and every one, Father. For I ask this and I pray this in the holy and glorious name of my Lord and my Savior, my God, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Okay, Gigi and Randy.
So I just need to ask a question. You want us to be praying about the outpouring. Is that right?
We want to focus on that on Saturdays.
Okay. Okay. And then I always like to ask you what you'd like me to pray for.
This week, We've got Vacation Bible School at the church, and they've invited parents to come. They've canvassed the poor area. So they have 15 parents that are signed up, and they're going to have dinner, and then the Vacation Bible School, and I'm going to make myself available to speak with the parents about healing broken hearts.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah,
wow.
So it's all Monday through Friday.
Oh, okay. And you're going to be there which day?
All week.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that. Okay. That's a wonderful opportunity, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. So they've got 15 parents signed up already. So we're hoping for a lot more.
Okay. So Lord God, thank you so much for the history of people that stepped out in faith and did your will and brought you glory. And we continue to pray, Lord, for another outpouring. There have been small ones here and there, but we're asking you for a massive, massive outpouring, Lord. And time is short, and the things going on in our country are really wicked, especially the things having to do with AI and data collection and all these things. We can see what's coming on the horizon. And we're asking you for mercy, Lord, and to save so many souls, because there are people that are being afflicted by these things already. And Lord, we're just asking you for mercy, and that you would bring many, many souls to yourself, and that there would be an outpouring and it would spread far and wide, Lord. And we're so grateful for this time of VBS. There's a lot of churches even in our area doing that. And John, you've given John this special opportunity at the VBS at the church. So we want to pray in advance for those 15 sets of parents that signed up. Lord, prepare their hearts to receive you if they have not, and prepare their hearts to be healed if they need that. Most everybody needs it, Lord, you know that. And so we just pray for an outpouring over the VBS, the people that work there, the people that are coming, and the children, Lord, and they would be miraculously saved and healed of their broken hearts. I can't imagine growing up during this time. It must be very confusing for lots and lots of people, including the children. So we're asking you for great mercy, and we're asking you to bring more people, everyone who's ready to know you, Lord, and every child who's ready to know you. And we pray protection over the meetings, over the week. And we pray for a special anointing over Don, that you would speak through him to these people, and that we would see a huge harvest, Lord. Thank you so much. Thank you for that opportunity. And I continue to pray over each and every one of us, that we would have an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on each and every one of us. Give us opportunities, Lord, to share the gospel and to pray for the sick and to tell them about the brokenhearted. So we just want to thank you and praise you for all of the opportunities, all of the blessings, all of the testimonies, all the ways that you bless us and watch over us, things that we know about, things that we don't know about, Lord. So many times you have protected each one of us, and sometimes it's more seemingly more miraculous, but even something small is a miracle from you. So we're grateful and thankful, and we want to love you and be a testimony, Lord, and give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. Okay, amen. Sister Sharon.
Amen.
Yes, Chaplain John. Okay. Dear Father, I just come before you, and this has been just a wonderful day, a wonderful time to be able to get together tonight. Oral Roberts and what he did for the people in those prayer meetings and stuff. And I'm just overwhelmed with the prayer covenant and stuff that talks about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and that it's going to continue until you come to get us and stuff. And also are very, very powerful words and stuff that it's not going to stop. It's going to continue. And we just need to pray. We need to pray for each other, and we need to help bring others to you, dear Father God, and just to be ready and just to hear your word and to pray and to want to hear your word and more of your word and stuff, and to read your word, dear Father God, and to be ready to help out any way we can and stuff. I just am excited to hear about the Vacation Bible School that's going to be going on this week. And I just pray that Chaplain John and Nancy have all the opportunity possible to help out when and where they can. And I just pray that Chaplain John doesn't take on more than what he is capable of handling and stuff, because he's just got so much going on now as it is. And I just want to pray for him for that. And just that everybody that goes to the Vacation Bible School meetings, that this is a very, very safe situation, and that there'll be no harm to any child while they're having these meetings and stuff. And that the children will learn to pray, they will learn to read, and they will learn to worship you, your Father God, and that they will understand more about what you did when you came to earth as a man and what you did for us on the cross. And I know that these subjects have to be handled in age-appropriate means and stuff, and I know that they will do that correctly. And I just thank you, dear Father, once again, for the outpouring of your Holy Spirit. As I know that we all we just want everybody to have revivals and just everything that's going onward and forward. And dear Father, I would also like to pray for the revival that's going on up on Shane Street these next few evenings and stuff, that's right here in the Detroit area at a church. So I just want to pray that too, that they have a good outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I know that they were talking about that earlier. And we just want, anytime we hear of anybody having a revival meeting and stuff, and getting it together with people in different areas and everything, we need to pray for meetings. We need to pray for people who might attend. We need to pray for the people who are running the meetings and stuff, and just that they are able to present you and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit appropriately, dear Father God. And I just thank you, dear Father, that I am here with Abba Father International, and that I can help where I can and when I can. And it is such a joy for me to be able to do that, and just to hear other people pray, and I hear their needs, and I know that they pray for me too. And that is such a joy. And in your name, I do pray. Amen.
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 Okay. Let's see. Do we cover everybody in prayer?
Chaplain, I just need to add one more little thing.
Oh, sure.
There's I told the lady that I was on this, and I said we would pray, and I just didn't get a chance, but I prayed myself. But I still feel like, since I told her, but it's Donnie and Pat. She's been part of the Thursday group, and Donnie's had cancer, terrible, terrible cancer. honestly, he should have been dead four times because of how close he was. He's had hundreds of radiation treatments, and I'm serious. I mean that, because he'd have it for like 8 weeks straight, and then another, you know, it's just been terrible. But here's what the problem is. His son is lives in Arkansas and was on the way here and has broken down in LaGrange, Georgia. And Donnie just feels so bad that he cannot go and help his son. He just has one son. So, Lord, we lift up Donnie and Pat. And I know that he's just imagining all kind of things about Don being in a desperate situation. But I thank you for roadside assistance, and I thank you for that sort of thing. So I just pray that Pat was just so concerned, that he was so concerned about not being able to help. So, Lord, I just pray right now for Donnie to sleep tonight and wake up tomorrow, and Don be here or be home. And so thank you for the people agreeing here on the line. And we do lift up Dove in India, and we just thank you for his knee being healed, I'm sure, in Jesus' name, and his leg causing no problem, and his health holding up. So thank you, Spirit of the Living God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Sister Kathy.
Amen.
Thank you. I had forgot about Dove. So, thank you.
And I would like to pray. I made a comment, you know, about the video, but I didn't get a chance to pray. And I want to, in my prayer, say thank you, Father God, that my brother's oncologist and surgeon finally got my brother through all the tests that they needed to determine what to do and how to proceed. And I pray that they give him a solid surgery date. And I praise you, Father, that it is still in the initial stage, so he doesn't have to have pre-surgery chemo or radiation. And he's so grateful for that, too. And I do lift up all the details to you to cover the right surgeon, the right medical team, and the right timing, Father God, for the just optimal healing and smoothness, just totally successful surgery. I'm praying for Richard Ralston, and I'm praying for his marriage, his wife's ability to be there with him and for him in the recovery process in a way that's loving and peaceful, in Jesus' name. And I also am so grateful that Dove is underway and that he is kept free from the limitations of pain, Father God, and that you protect everybody in that journey as they reach out to pastors and congregation, depending on the location, and that your purpose in this trip with him be fully accomplished, Father God, and many lives saved, many families healed, Father God, so that the teaching and healing that takes place over there can be multiplied after Dove leaves and continue on in reaching people. And I pray that our Bishop Reinhardt is going to be blessed as he takes Dove through the outreaches that he has scheduled. I pray your blessings over both and any others that go along to assist, that they are so blessed with your presence, filling them to overflow, Father God, that they see you mightily at work in the field, wherever they go. And I pray, Father God, you provide assistance for taking care of logistics in the different locations, and that there are many opportunities to give testimony and share hope. And we're really praying for the learning of the blessed hope and the importance of looking to Jesus and looking to Father God and getting to know the promises in person as they experience them. And Father God, I thank you for hearing Rita's testimony about the cart, right, available as she parked, because that to me is an example of how you're able to customize a blessing that has set all over it. I was paying attention to your need, and look at what I was able to deliver. I mean, he just outdoes himself when he's being recognized and looked to and loved. And so I just pray that more and more people around the world, especially in our leadership here in the United States, start to have that quality of relationship with you, Father God, where they recognize that you're really paying attention to what they need and delighting in providing to build that faith and that confidence in you, Father. Because when we don't ask for it and it shows up, in other words, Rita was letting you know what her concerns were, but she didn't ask for you to put a cart right where she was going to get out of her car. But you took it that extra mile. And we don't expect that at all. But when it happens, it is such a tickle, a personal touch. And I want to thank you for that. I pray that everybody would be able to experience that. But first they have to say, yes, I am a sinner and I need Jesus, and repent and receive Jesus' promise that he made on the cross. And it's just starting to walk with you, and you provide that faith, encouragement every step of the way. And Father God, I pray that people pay more attention to the full armor of God and personalize that with you. Understand all that's in that and take it seriously so that they are prepared. Like Oral Roberts was saying, we have to put that on every day, put you on in essence every day, and all of the tools and promises you've given us, and take seriously the battle that we're in, not fearfully, but seriously, so that we can walk victoriously with you and the equipping of your word. I just thank you, thank you, thank you. And for others that are going through this cancer walk, Father God, I do pray that you walk closely with them, being their guide, being their hope, and reminding them that you have great plans for them, whichever direction it is. If it's time for them to go home, I pray, Father God, you make that as, you know, as easy as possible for them in order to get them there with a joy in their heart. And reduce the suffering as much as possible so that it's easy for them to tie up loose ends. And I think that's the whole thing. People need to feel at peace when they go home to be with you. But I just thank you that we can count on you to bring us home when it's that time in a way that is the least stressful on our loved ones. And so that we can just fall back and say, okay, Father, I'm looking forward to it. And even before that time, that we start looking forward to the time that we're able to be with you. But right now be available to be used. In Jesus' name, I pray that the hearts of all your people just really get wrapped up in walking with you and being available to you, being fine-tuned and pruned, and discovering as we go that you really did have a glorious plan in the beginning, and that as we submit to you, that plan gets worked out, and it can be like an adventure. So be with us during that adventure through the rest of our life here on earth with you, and then forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Okay.
Chaplain?
Yes.
Chaplain? I just want to read something real quick that Twizzle wrote here in Rumble. And she said that they had a car wash in the community today. And in the prayer tent, we got to pray for 41 different people with 4 or 5 salvation prayers, ages 8, 11, 20, and 21. And she got to hand out 8 brokenhearted brochures.
Awesome.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for this outreach. And Twizzle is part of us, so it's an outreach from here. Yeah. And we thank you for that, Lord.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. That's so exciting.
Now, I have a video here lined up, and this guy reminds me of Gene Bailey, but as an archaeologist. His name is Joel P. Kramer, and I've watched a couple of his teachings here. This is Searching for the Garden of Eden's Pishon River. And he did I watched it, and he nailed it. He nailed with now the Pishon River is dry now, but as you see him here develop it, they nailed it right where the river is. So his name is, well, here, you'll see it. Oh, because I bring it over. And there's 4 rivers named in the garden, flowing from the Garden of Eden. And this is the one that's, we don't know, you know, today it doesn't exist. So here we go, and I think you'll be really blessed by it.
2 describes the location of the Garden of Eden in relationship to 4 rivers. 3 of these rivers are known, and 1 is a mystery, the lost river of Eden, so to speak. This is the river that the Bible calls the Pishon. Now, the biggest clue to understanding where to go looking for the Pishon River is in Genesis 2:11, where it says, "The Pishon, it winds through the entire land of Havilah." Therefore, if we know where the ancient land of Havilah is located, then we know where to go looking for the Pishon River. Genesis 25:18 says, "The land of Havilah is opposite Egypt in the direction of Assyria." And so the only land that is opposite Egypt, that is east of Egypt, on the way to Assyria, is the Arabian Peninsula, what is known today as the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia.
This is Expedition Bible, and we're in Saudi Arabia.
It is pretty clear today that there is not a river that flows across the Arabian Peninsula. However, what does the evidence say? Was there such a river in ancient times?
This is the leading candidate for the Pishon River.
If you want to support me and the making of these videos, please hit the subscribe button. Also, thank you for making my book number 1 in archaeology. I'll leave a link in the description where you can order a copy. So I was reading Genesis 2 in my ESV Bible, and I noticed the map that showed the two main proposals for the location of the Garden of Eden. One is a northern proposal, and the other one is a southern proposal. I'd been up in the area of Turkey and Armenia, where the northern proposal is. This didn't make a lot of sense to me. For one thing, it's very high mountainous country, not really ideal for a garden. The other thing is that even though the Tigris and Euphrates rivers start in this region, they aren't connected to each other. And then the rivers that were proposed in this northern area for being the Pishon, that doesn't make any sense at all, because that area of Turkey and Armenia is not east of Egypt. It is not opposite Egypt on the way to Assyria. Genesis 2:10 says, "A river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and there divided and became four rivers." At some point, the four rivers are one river. The area of the southern proposal, on the other hand, is very intriguing because this is an ideal place for a garden. It's low, it's warm, it's well watered. One of the criteria from the verses about these four rivers and watering the Garden of Eden is that at some point they have to all connect with each other to form one river. And with the three known rivers, the only place that they do connect in this way is in southern Iraq, which also happens to be opposite, that is, east of Egypt. And so I traveled to Iraq to explore this area.
I'm here at a town called Al-Karna. And this is the place where the Tigris and Euphrates River come together and join and become one river. This river flows down and flows into the Persian Gulf. So the Genesis account for where the Garden of Eden is located talks about four rivers, and two of them are known for certain. One is the Tigris, which is coming in from over here, and the other is the Euphrates coming in over here. And then it talks about these, where these four rivers come together to form one river. And so we know where that takes place with the Tigris and Euphrates River. It takes place right here.
From the confluence of the Euphrates and the Tigris River, I travel further south down to where the Karun River joins them. Now, the Karun River is the main candidate for the Gihon, and it flows through the ancient land of the Kassites, which in ancient times was called Cush. There's actually two lands called Cush. One is in Africa, up in Ethiopia, and the other one is in what is today Iran. Now, which one is the Gihon River? Well, it has to be the one that flows through what is today Iran, the Cush of the Kassites, because that is the river that then comes and has its confluence with the Tigris and Euphrates. Of course, the Nile River that flowed through the other Cush in Ethiopia never has a confluence with the Euphrates and Tigris rivers because it's on a different continent. It's the largest river in Iran, and where it has its confluence with the Euphrates and the Tigris is a border between Iraq and Iran, and therefore a very sensitive place, and so it's a bit nerve-wracking going down into that area, and I wanted to get closer, but I got as close as I could.
But you can see the bridge over here. This bridge is not going over the Tigris and Euphrates. This bridge is going over what is called the Karun River. And the Karun River is the main candidate for the Gihon.
Genesis 10:2 says, "Now a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it parted and became four riverheads." One thing that really helped me understand Genesis 2 in regards to these four rivers is reading the renowned Hebrew scholar E.A. Spicer in the Anchor Bible Commentary. There he explains the meaning of this verse because it can sound very confusing. It kind of has that upriver perspective where it's talking about one river that then becomes four branches that go up to the headstreams. And the reason that's confusing is we know that's not what rivers do. Rivers do the opposite. They flow from their heads, from their beginnings, down to the confluences that they have with other rivers. And the Hebrew allows for this meaning. Spicer wrote, "In verse 10, the term heads can have nothing to do with streams in which the river breaks up after it leaves Eden, but designates instead four separate branches which have merged within Eden. There is thus no basis for the search for the Pishon in various remote regions of the world."
All right, well, my son Barry and I are flying to Riyadh, Saudi Arabia today.
Saudi Arabia. I grew up in this country, and it has been 31 years since I've been here, and so, wow, it's just such a blessing. I'm so grateful to be able to be back here where I grew up. My whole childhood, I grew up here, and it's just a thrill for me to be back here. So we got into Riyadh. We were able to rent a four-wheel drive vehicle, and now we've headed out of Riyadh, and we are doing over an eight-hour drive today. I am wanting to introduce my team members. This is my son, Barry.
What's up, guys?
Who is also doing the video work and has been doing a great job. Thanks, Barry. And then also, this is Greg Strokorb, a lifelong friend that I've known from my days in Saudi. Greg is 1% Bedouin. Right?
Maybe 2%.
After a few days of driving, we made it to the Red Sea coast. We began our exploration opposite Egypt, where the Bible says the land of Havilah is located, and then began traveling in the direction of Assyria to the Hejaz Mountains.
So I'm standing up in the Hejaz Mountains, and this is the divide. The mountains of Hejaz are tilted. The whole land is tilted across Arabia towards Mesopotamia. And so you see all kinds of ravines through here. But when it rains, all these ravines flow together and they join and they flow down what is believed to be the ancient Pishon River.
East of the Hejaz Mountains is an impressive high plateau of rocks.
We're up in the high plateau and you can just see all of the volcanic rock that's up here. I mean, just covering this place. Look at all this volcanic rock. So we've been exploring the Hejaz Mountains and we've come down into the foothills and we found this beautiful area here. And so we're gonna camp here for the night.
After breaking camp, we continued our journey east across Arabia. Genesis 2 says of the Pishon that it winds through the entire land of Havilah, where there is gold. The gold of that land is good.
This is one of the criteria for Arabia being the land of Havilah. If Arabia is Havilah, then there should be gold in Arabia, and the gold is good. It should be famous for its gold. And in fact, the largest and most productive gold mine in the Middle East is in Saudi Arabia and right in the area of the watershed that forms the beginning of the Wadi Rumah, which is the main candidate for the Pishon River.
Behind me here at the base of this mountain is the mine Mad al-Dahab, and this in Arabic means the cradle of gold. In this region, there is also 55 gold mines, this one being not only the largest of those, but the largest gold mine in all of the Arabian Peninsula. It's been mined for thousands and thousands of years, and it's being mined up into this day. Also, just to the east, you see this road where the cars are driving, and this is a paved portion of the ancient incense route that was the south to north route the commodities were traded that are mentioned in Genesis 2. So in Genesis 2, it specifically says that there is gold in the land of Havilah and that the gold is good. And here we have all these gold mines, this one being the biggest. Also, it mentions the aromatic resins the main ones being frankincense and myrrh, that were brought on this incense route that passes just a kilometer to the east of this mine. And then the onyx, the precious stones. So the same commodities that are mentioned in Genesis 2 for the land of Havilah are the same commodities that Arabia is famous for trading. And this is the route that those commodities were traded on. So it just is a fit between the description of the land of Havilah in Genesis 2 and the land of Arabia. So we're just coming into this area and looking for a campsite for the night.
After another night, we continued our journey. Now it was time to find the ancient riverbed that we would spend the rest of our trip following across the Arabian Peninsula. In the late 1980s and early 90s, the Egyptian geologist Dr. Farouk El-Baz, while studying satellite images of Arabia, discovered a huge ancient Arabian river. The ancient riverbed that Dr. El-Baz discovered that had once flowed across Arabia is called locally Wadi Rumah.
We have made it to Wadi Rumah, and this is the bridge of it behind me here.
In regards to the river that Dr. El-Baz discovered, archaeologist James Sauer wrote, "It may well be the Pishon River, one of the four rivers, according to the Bible associated with Eden. No other river would seem to fit the biblical description." And so it was a combination of both of them that led to the reality that this lost river of Eden had finally been found.
This riverbed that you see here is the leading candidate for the biblical Pishon River. It drains the Hejaz Mountains and flows out to the Euphrates and Tigris rivers.
Of course, today, for most of the year, this river is dry. But it was formed in ancient times, when the land between Egypt and Assyria, called Havilah, had a much wetter climate that supported a continually flowing river that wound its way across the entire land. Scholars estimate that this river continually flowed until around 2000 BC, when the climate changed, causing the river to dry up.
Now, we were upriver, where it drains the Hejaz Mountains, and the volcanic rock that is up in the Hejaz Mountains now can be found in the gravel in the bed of this ancient river. You have granite, and you have this black basalt. You have quartz, all represented that we saw up in the Hejaz Mountains. These are the Hejaz Mountains. This is the source of those quartz pebbles. You see this deposit of quartz and running in a vein through the side of the mountain right here. And so you have these massive deposits up here in the mountains of quartz. This is the source for the quartz pebbles found way down below. Now are in the gravel in the bed of the river. And in ancient times, especially when this river flowed, was being pushed towards this ancient river's confluence with the Tigris and Euphrates rivers. So in Genesis 2, what it's describing the Pishon River for doing, winding its way through the entire land of Havilah, that is what this river in ancient times did across Arabia, winding its way across the Arabian Peninsula.
So the Wadi Rumah was very easy to find. It's huge. However, it proved difficult and a bit nerve-wracking to follow because we kept almost getting stuck. There was soft sand down in the riverbed itself, and the sand dunes had blown over part of the riverbed. And at one point, we did get stuck, but fortunately, we were able to push out of it. For a comparison, this is the Pishon candidate, Wadi Rumah, and this is the Euphrates River. Amazingly, the banks of Wadi Rumah are actually wider than the current banks of the Euphrates. So when we got to our first place that we really filmed the Wadi Rumah, we were very impressed with its size. Well, later we're looking at Google Earth and we realize, oh, wow, it's actually much larger than we realized. When we got to Wadi Rumah, our first videos were shot here. At the time, we thought that the ancient riverbed ran somewhere along what looks like the riverbed today, which would have looked something like this in ancient times. Now that seemed big. However, what we didn't realize was that the sand dunes had shifted to cover the ancient riverbed, which is much larger and runs over this whole area. In ancient times, the Pishon River would have looked something like this, which is absolutely massive. So this is how big we thought the riverbed was, but this is how big it actually was, measuring over 1.7 miles across, which is enormous. As we continued to camp and explore, we found several fenced-off ancient wells in the bottom of the dry riverbed from when Wadi Rumah was used as an important travel route to Mesopotamia. Following Wadi Rumah, we encountered a serious obstacle when the riverbed suddenly disappeared beneath a huge sand dune belt. Our goal was to cross this sand dune belt to where we could see on Google Earth where Wadi Rumah reemerged from the sea of sand on the other side.
So we've been working our way across this sand dune belt. It's a bit nerve-wracking because we only have one vehicle. And so if we get stuck, then we're in serious trouble. But we've camped here for the night. We're going to bed down and we're going to hope to find the wadi on the east side of the sand dune belt in the morning. This is our camp. So this is where I sleep in this little tent. Barry likes the big tent. He's got the big tent over there. Greg is way over there on the side of the hill because he snores really, really loud. All right, we're going to try to pull out of our campsite. The problem is we're in kind of some soft sand. And we have street tires. We need sand tires, not street tires. Oh, we're going fast. That's good. I ain't slowing down now. Woo! Okay, we're taking that ledge. Ready? Here we go. If we're out of here, we're free. Camels!
Ah. Welcome.
Assalamu alaikum, Habibi.
Yeah,
man. Yeah.
So on the east side of the dune belt, we did pick up the Wadi Rumah again. It was huge, and it kept getting bigger and bigger as we traveled further and further along it.
So we made it through another night in the desert, and now we got a little over a three-hour drive into the town of Hafr el-Batin.
So behind me we have what's called in Arabic a wadi, which is just a dry stream bed, and in times of heavy rain, then it'll flow with water. For scale, this is maybe even a larger wadi than most, but compared to this, this is Wadi Rumah, and it is massive!
All along the river up to this point, we had gravel on each bank and covering the flood zone of this ancient river. However, as we got down close to Kuwait, then all of a sudden this gravel plain just opened up. And the reason why is because this is the alluvial fan of the river as it comes to its confluence with the Euphrates, Tigris, and Gihon rivers. This alluvial fan covers much of Kuwait itself. And so it just is another indicator of how much water in ancient times was coming down this riverbed.
So we have in this gravel plain all these pebbles. And years ago, the Egyptian geologist, Dr. Farouk El-Baz, was here. And he realized that these were not indigenous to this area. And he asked a simple question,
Where do these come from?
The closest source for these pebbles was the Hejaz Mountains. Dr. Elbaz realized that it had been the strong flow of the ancient river that had both formed these pebbles and carried some of them for more than 500 miles.
Dr. Elbaz did a map of the pebble distribution of this river to show that it was the flow of the river that brought these stones over 500 miles down from the Hejaz Mountains. You just look at the riverbed that we've been following for over 500 miles. It keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and it's just astounding the size of this flow.
So the question is this the Pishon River? In conclusion, we're standing in a gravel bed full of a bunch of little pebbles that look like the pebbles you would see along a river. And we know that they're not indigenous to the area. And we know that they come from the Hejaz Mountains. And there's a huge riverbed behind us that runs all the way back to the Hejaz Mountains. It's not exactly rocket science as to how they got here. Even when we asked some locals, because we didn't know if we were pronouncing the name of the Wadi right, they said, yeah. It's Wadi al-Ruma, and it runs from Medina in the Hejaz Mountains all the way to Iraq, where the Tigris and Euphrates join. So it's really not that difficult.
The more that I research this, the more that we explore it, the more it makes sense of the identification that Dr. James Sauer made, that this is to be identified as the Pishon from Genesis 2.
We can say that the Bible describes the location of the Garden of Eden in relationship to four rivers that are all identifiable physically on the ground today.
And so all of these four rivers in southern Iraq came together to form one river. Now, what this place looked like before the flood, we don't know. However, I wanted to go and see what it looked like today, and I was quite shocked. I don't know why I wasn't expecting it to be such a wet place, but what I found there was a whole lot of water.
These are the vast marshes of southern Iraq, near where the Euphrates and Tigris rivers come together. The people that live here are Arabs, but they're called marsh Arabs. Instead of sheep and goats, they eat fish and waterfowl. Instead of camels, they raise water buffaloes. And as endless as these marshes seem today, they covered a much larger area in ancient times, stretching all the way from the Gulf to the ruins of the old Sumerian cities, such as Ur and Eridu. Spicer wrote, "All four streams once converged, or were believed to have done so, near the head of the Persian Gulf, to create a rich garden land to which local religion and literature alike looked back as the land of the blessed."
According to the criteria of Genesis 2, these four rivers have to at some point connect and become one river. Where does that happen with these four rivers? It happens in southern Iraq. Not to mention that this is also an ideal place for a garden because it's a low place, warm place. And as it says in Genesis 13:10, the garden of the Lord is well watered. Therefore, I believe that the most probable place for the location of the Garden of Eden is the southern proposal, southern Iraq.
Romans chapter 5 says, "For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made."
And the video stopped.
No, the video didn't stop. Rumble stopped.
Okay. All right. I knew something wasn't working.
Yeah.
You know, Rumble's back into DVR mode, so.
Yeah. So, anyways, you got it to the end, and I thought it was very interesting. I hope that you were, Sister Kathy, were you blessed by it?
Oh, my goodness, yes. It was just like, how massive is Saudi Arabia?
Right. Yes, and how it's changed. How it was so lush, and look at the way it is now.
Yeah, it is. This was powerful, wonderful, and eye-opening.
Yeah.
Now, he has other series. One is about where the Lord was crucified in Jerusalem. which it was a hard sell, but I believe him because it's connected a lot with the Catholic Church. Not that he's a Catholic, but where they venerate the spot where the Lord died in Jerusalem. You know, the Catholic Church has it, but he gave a compelling. It was very interesting, very interesting. Yeah. So I'll show you that one, and he has others. But you see how he's like Gene Bailey, Sister Kathy?
Oh, yes, very, very, very much. And Twizzle found the link, so the people that are in the Rumble that can't see it can tag
that. That's good.
Right, and I checked out the link. The link does work. It takes you right to that man's site.
Okay. All right. And then something I wanted to say. Oh, I've hooked up, and I've told you this a little while back. I'm hooked up with a what do you call it? If you know, you can stream through. And I had told you about this man, and he's also. In fact, I gave my first order for brochures. I'm all out of the Spanish brochure, and he's going to print them for me for 10 cents each.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
So if I want 200, they're 10 cents. If I want 2,000, they're 10 cents.
Awesome.
And so I'm going to supply him with the drums and all that you need to, and each the drum will print 35,000 copies.
Wow.
So
you talk about ink, drum to ink?
I guess it would have to be drums of ink. I don't know if they're laser printed, you know. I'm not sure. Yeah. You know. So anyways, that's really good. And he's going to be printing them next week for me. As I said, I'm all out of Spanish. But what makes it nice is I can print 1,000, and that'll cost me $100.
That's very good.
And then all of my everything, my website and all will be on his server so that and I'll be serving, it'll be through him and not Rumble. So I will, you can go to Rumble to watch. You can go to Facebook to watch. YouTube, he's getting me back on YouTube. He said that's no problem for me to go back on YouTube. But it won't be serving through Rumble, if you follow what I'm saying.
Right
now, and that's where I'm getting all the problems from is through Rumble. So I'm real excited. Now, next Tuesday is a big day. We're going to spend probably several hours on Tuesday putting this together. He absolutely loves the Broken Hearted brochure. He read one of my books, wanted more of them. So we're hitting it off really good, Sister Kathy and everybody else. So I would expect probably in the end of June will be up. And he can also, they have through AI now, they have tremendous ability for other languages. So Urdu, everything will be simultaneously translated in Urdu, Swahili, and a couple of the Indian languages. So whatever I'm teaching now, Jamil won't have to translate it.
Oh, that is worth $1 million.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll be able to have like an Urdu site. We'll be able to have a Swahili site, the Indian sites. I'm going to ask him about Hebrew also. I'm sure he'll be able to do Hebrew.
Yeah.
But, you know, but then when I'm speaking in Pakistan, Jamil will be able to, he'll have to translate it, but we could tell the people, go here and you'll get my teachings in Urdu. So I think the days of fighting this, like, I don't know why it cut out, early tonight. I mean, everything was going fine, and it cuts out. Why? I have no idea. But it doesn't do it in the morning. I know that.
Yeah, I think it's when it gets into an extended time.
Why?
I don't know.
When more people are using it at night than would be in the day.
You mentioned that before. Maybe that's the cause. But anyways, so we're going to have big changes in a very short period of time.
Yeah. We're grateful.
But the big thing, like I said now, is with the brochures. This is wonderful because I don't have to order 5,000 to get a decent break, you know.
Right.
So I don't have to. I don't have to store them here in great numbers because I could call them up and say, you know, send me 1,000, send me 2,000.
That's great. And,
okay, so that's what's coming on. But anyways, Sister Rita, did you like that? Because it's like, you know, where is Pishon in the Bible? You know, where is it? I mean, I was always curious with that. Now we know.
Yeah, I thought the video was really good. I really enjoyed it. And it felt like you were with them. The video actually was so descriptive to where you felt like you were there with them.
And it was very well done.
Yes, very well done. I enjoyed that very much. Yeah.
Well, the other one that I watched, I told you, was about the site of the crucifixion, which I believe he's nailed. He's nailed it. And I only saw two of them. He has a lot more. So I'd like to kind of exhaust his series because they're very good. They're very well done. And like I said, he's the Gene Bailey of geology there. All right. Gigi and Randy, were you blessed by it? I hope you were.
Yes, I actually follow this fellow. I just watched him with his video on Joshua at AI that he just posted. He's very good. I've been following him for quite a while. He's very good. So nice to meet him.
You've seen this one already then?
No, I haven't seen that one in particular, but I've seen, I can't watch them every time, but I haven't seen that one, but I watch his videos on a regular basis. I subscribe to his channel.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I think we're going to have, the foreseeable future, we'll have the second hour locked up because we'll go from the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the second hour. We can go into these geology or archaeology teachings because, like I said, I was really blessed by this. Very, very high quality.
He's very qualified and he's very careful. And so he tells you, you know, this is my opinion. This is what other people think. I like that.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Thank you, John.
Yes. Well, I'm excited. This is really like the vision I had. You know, okay, we're going to pray the first hour. We're going to limit it to the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We'll see something edified, like Brother Roberts. Then the second hour, we'll get this this is top quality stuff, this man. He does top quality work. And we can absorb from another angle, like we just did now. We know where the Pishon River flowed, and it's dry now. But and also how lush Saudi Arabia was at one time. And so it looks like the curse of the Lord fell on it. All right, Sister Sharon?
Yes, I really, really enjoyed this. And I hope that we get to see more and learn more. And I really feel blessed by getting to look at all the archaeology and all the ground and everything. I loved it.
Right. This is cutting edge stuff. Yeah. Yeah. And it did. Someone mentioned this. I don't know. Maybe Rita mentioned it. But it felt like, in a sense, I was with him on an adventure.
Yes.
It gave you that feeling, you know? And it wasn't dry. It wasn't, I'm going to say, like super scholarly, although it was, but it just came like it was an adventure. We were along with them.
Right. And then when he mentioned about the one guy who snored really loud and had to, that just kind of cracked me up because I know there's always snoring jokes here in the group.
Well, the king of the snorers my brother. My brother, he was legendary, and he had his wife would wear some sort of headphones or something. But he did go for an operation, and they did something to his nose and sinuses and all, and he doesn't snore like that anymore. But my brother was absolutely legendary. Okay, Paula Jean.
It was beautiful and very well done, and you could tell how carefully he went about it. He did his homework before taking the journey, and he very wonderful use of the Google Earth, to lay out things so that everything. We could see.
Right.
Okay. It was very well done.
This is what I've been telling you, high quality stuff. And we've got it nailed now for at least a couple months, because it looks like he might have 20 or so really good videos. And so I'm happy. All right. Let's God bless everybody, and let me close in a word of prayer. And hopefully we'll see everybody tomorrow night with Dave Hauser. So, Father, thank you for this opportunity for knowledge, Lord, in your word. Thank you for, I don't know his name. I don't remember his name. But, Lord, he's bless his ministry. May he produce more of these, Lord. And it feels like we're a part of it. And so you've really blessed him. So I pray that we'll all be edified by learning these little things like the River Pishon, that it's not a mystery. We know exactly where it's located. And thank you for Oral Roberts, Lord, and the anointing that is still on his videos these 70 years, I guess, later. So thank you for that, Lord. And bless everybody, and we thank you for it, Lord. And I always want to end with looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearance of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen, everybody.
O God of burning, cleansing flame,
send the fire.
Your blood-bought gift